both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It gives us scripture that tells us some people are going to say, well, where is he? Why hadn't he come back again? Where's his promise? The Bible also says that he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He will fulfill that which he has promised to do, and he will come again. And when he does, it'll be joy for the saved and eternal loss of hope for the unsaved. The fifth chapter of John, we find a incident where Jesus healed a man. He was on a cot. He was down by the pool and he couldn't get access. And Jesus just healed him. Told him to take up. He was lame. And he told him to get up and walk. Take your cot. Go home. And he did, but it happened to be on the Sabbath day. And of course the Pharisees were always looking to find some fault with Jesus. And with their strict interpretation of Moses' laws that God had given him, they said, well, that's not a lawful thing to do. That's working. You pick up your cot and go home. And they thought it was working too for Jesus to heal him on the Sabbath day. And I want to start reading. Actually, Jesus had told them, said, well, you know, my Father's work to do this, and I work too. Another place Jesus told us that the Sabbath was made for man not for the Sabbath. Of course, Sabbath is different than Sunday. The Sabbath was the seventh day of the week, and I'm not going to go into all explanation about that, but those things that are done for the good of God's cause can be done anytime. And I want to pick up reading with the 18th verse, 5th chapter of John. And it's going to be rather lengthy reading. I want to read it kind of slow so that you can try to catch some of it. And of course, with King James language, some of it might be difficult to understand if you're not that familiar with it. I'm not going to try to stop and make explanations along the way. I'll just take a portion of it at the conclusion for what we want to present. But these are the words of Jesus after the 18th verse. It says, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him, and the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. He will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead, and quickeneth them, and I will say the term quickeneth means to make alive, because that's used several times here. Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son. Excuse me, I got tears in my eyes. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor our Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I came of mine own, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father whom hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Yet sent unto John, or ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice, or at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor of one another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And excusing my reading mistakes, that's 18 through 47 verses, 5th chapter of John. Excuse me. There are many sermons included in this passage of Scripture. But I want to take for a thought this morning a portion of the 25th verse. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live. He said there was a time coming, and then he said it's already here. That those that hear the voice of the Son of God shall live. The voice of the Son of God is still speaking to us today. In the words that we read and in the messages that are preached from time to time by those who have been called of God. Jesus said that Moses spoke of him and wrote of him. And we could go back and we could find time after time after time throughout the five books of Moses' writing of things that related to Jesus and the Messiah that was to come. The Apostle Paul tells us that the whole law was designed to be a schoolmaster to teach us or to lead us to Christ. So all of Moses' writings technically is designed to lead us to Christ. Now, there's moral teachings in there. There's teachings of God's desire for man as to how that man should live and conduct themselves. But it's all in keeping with the teachings of man should first and foremost recognize God and his Messiah that they might be saved. And so Jesus now said, I've come. Now this is in the early part of John's writing, so this is a relatively early time in his ministry. And Jesus said, now I've come. You haven't believed me so far. You haven't believed the writing of Moses about me. Are you going to believe me? You haven't believed the Father, or you would believe me, because I'm one with the Father. But he said that there are dead people that's going to hear. And those dead people will live because that they hear. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit today, because he goes on down and talks about the resurrection, when those that are dead in the ground will hear. And that they'll come forth, those that are saved, to the resurrection of life. Those that are unsaved, they'll come up to the resurrection of damnation. And they're going to hear. Those that are dead physically and have been dead for centuries will hear the voice of God when Jesus comes back and the trumpet sounds. They'll come forth. And just like the song that we sang, or y'all sang, but I didn't do much singing in it. The King is coming. He's coming back. And every voice is going to hear him. There won't be any hiding place to get away from him. Those who are saved, they're going to joyfully go to him. And those who are not saved are going to look for those rocks and mountains to hide them. But there will be no hiding place. But Jesus said that now there are dead people that's going to hear his voice. And what was he talking about? He's talking about lost people that are dead. Not in the physical body, but within their souls, that they're dead. And that there's a time that when they hear his voice, that there will be some anyway. Not a lot. Because we're told that straight is the way that leads to heaven, and there's very few that get on that road. But broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many that are going down that path, heading for eternity without God. But Jesus said that there's dead people that's going to hear his voice. And that's why that we preach. We preach what Jesus said. We preach about Jesus so that those who are dead in their sins will hear his voice and hopefully respond to that. Now, sometimes, just like I'm having difficulty with my hearing today because of the little hearing instruments that are not working correctly. Sometimes we hear sounds and we don't pay attention to them. Or sometimes we can't recognize what the sounds are. Or sometimes we recognize them and just don't pay attention to them. Sometimes there are things that disturb us, and sometimes there are things that make us feel good that we hear. Sometimes there are things that we hear that we just have no interest in, so we let them pass on by without taking too much notice of them other than that they become annoyance to us. Jesus said that there's going to be dead people, though, that hear his voice and that will respond to his voice, and in doing so that they'll get life. And he's talking about eternal life. He's talking about a new life. He's talking about that quickening or being made alive within their soul. In the Apostle Paul's writing, and in several places he wrote, but I'm going to refer to a couple of them. In the second chapter of the Ephesian letter, he says in the first verse, "And ye hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." And he goes on down in the fifth verse and says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Now, he made the statement here that we were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. And sin, Paul tells us, is the transgression or the breaking of God's law. See, God gave the law for man to live by, but man was incapable of living by the law. And so in breaking God's law, what is what Adam did when he was just given one law. He broke that, and therefore sin entered into the world through Adam. Because of his transgression of the law, and every one of us has broken God's law. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. There is no one that's good, the Bible tells us. We call ourselves good sometimes. You know, sometimes people will say, "Well, how you doing? I'm good." Well, that's in the terminology of, "Well, I'm healthy and everything's going all right with me," is what we're saying. But when it comes down to the exact word of good, there's none of us good. And I try not to use that terminology just because I'm thinking that in my mind. So I just say, "Well, I'm doing well," or "I'm great," or "I'm whatever it might be." But I try not to use that terminology, "I'm good." Because I recognize that I'm not good in the strict sense of the word. Those that have been saved have been made alive in Christ Jesus, who were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. And dead in sin just means separated from God. Dead, and that's what the word "dead" basically means, separation. And so we are separated from God because of sin in our soul. And therefore our soul is dead when we are lost and separated from God. We're dead to God as far as any relationship with him is concerned. When a person is born, even from conception, we're created or born in sin. We are conceived in sin. And he's not talking about the act that causes the conception, but he's talking about the fact that our nature is sinful, even from the point of creation. We're just not held responsible for that until we get to that point in time when God holds us responsible or accountable for our sin. And at that point, when God knows that we know the difference between spiritual right and wrong, because we recognize it in our heart, he lets us know that. The Holy Spirit then does his work of convincing us of sin and letting us know that we are lost. Now, people may not understand what that is when the Spirit deals with their heart. But the fact is that everybody, I don't care where they've been, I don't care if they've never heard the name of Jesus before, if they've never heard about God, if they've never heard about the plan of salvation, if they've never heard about the Holy Spirit, if they've never had any knowledge whatsoever in their mind of God, that Spirit still works to their heart to let them know that there is something that is not right within them. And I use the illustration quite often that is why that there's religion all over the world and always has been in every society that's ever been known, every anthropological study, every archaeological dig that they come up with. They find some type of religious artifacts. They find something that indicates that man is trying to make some connection with something greater than himself, because he knows inside that there's something missing. And therefore, he has a need for a connection with that greater power, whatever they conceive that greater power to be. God gave his Son that people might have eternal life, and he gave knowledge of his Son from the beginning, even in the Garden of Eden, that people might know about his Son. And yet so many have turned that knowledge aside, have turned that information away, and have developed whole societies that never heard of Jesus. And so they attach themselves to something else that they think will help them to make that connection with something bigger than them. Now, they're still dead in their sins. They're dead because they're separated from God. And the only way, Jesus said, I am the way. The only way given by God to man to make a reconciliation to God, or to come back to God from the condition of sin that we're in, is through Jesus. And if people don't hear about Jesus, they don't understand what that knocking in their heart is. They don't understand what that disconnect is with that larger, greater power. And so they make up ways to try to have some kind of relationship that will take care of them after this life is over. But Jesus said those dead people out there, there's some that's going to hear him. You're going to hear his voice. And he wasn't talking about just his natural voice that as he was speaking to them, even though that was the case, since he was walking here upon the earth and he was speaking to people, there would be some that would hear him. But the voice that he speaks to the hearts of individuals with is by the Holy Spirit of God, because the Spirit is just as equal to Jesus and to God as Jesus is to God. They're co-equal in all things. And the Holy Spirit is what was given to the world by which that it would speak to the hearts of men, that they might be drawn unto him, that they might recognize that in their death or separation from God, that there was life to be had through Jesus Christ. And when the message reaches them, when the message of life gets to them, and they recognize that there is something to be had to satisfy the need of their heart, that they will turn to the Lord to be saved. A little further over into the Ephesian letter, in the fifth chapter, in the 14th verse, Paul says, wherefore he saith, and he's speaking back, talking about Jesus here, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He said, awake thou that sleepest. Now, a person that sleeps is somebody that's unconscious. Their consciousness has gone away from them. They're resting. Their body is not functioning as far as being able to get up and move around and do things. And so he's comparing that to somebody who is lost also, that their sleep, that are dead in their sins. He said, awake. What makes a person awake? There's something that causes a disturbance with their body that makes them rouse up from the condition of sleep that they're in. And to those that are dead in sin, there's something that causes them to arouse up. And that's the voice of Jesus. That's the word of salvation that comes to their ears, that pierces their heart by the Holy Spirit, to cause them to recognize that they're in trouble, that they need to take action. If somebody's breaking in our house, we hear a noise, or something disturbs us in night and sleep, we jump up out of bed to take action. Well, that's exactly what he's saying that a lost person should do, is to take action when they hear the voice of the Spirit of God, which is speaking the words of Jesus, come unto me, and that they would turn to him, that they could be saved and have eternal life.
Amen.
Paul goes on in the Colossian letter, in the second chapter of Colossians, and says in the 13th verse, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. He's talking about a past tense thing, that when you were dead in your sins and then you trusted in Christ, that he made you alive or quickened you and forgave you of your trespasses or of your sin, so that now what was dead in you or separated from God is now alive or have a connection with God because that there has been eternal life given. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans letter, and I'm not going to turn to read that, but I believe the second chapter of Romans, the last couple of verses in that chapter. He talks about being a true Jew. And a true Jew, he says, is one that is one inwardly and not outwardly. A true Jew is one that has been saved. A true Jew is one that has had a spiritual life given to them. And that is a true child of God. The nation of Israel was a collective group of people that God chose to be a people through whom he would send his son Jesus to be the salvation of the world. And so they were the chosen people for Jesus to come through. They were not chosen to all be saved. Those that were chosen to be saved among the Jews were the ones that believed Jesus, that believed and trusted in him and looked forward to his coming. And to those in the day of Jesus that would listen to him and hear his voice and turn to him, that they might have eternal life. And to us that Paul was writing about, and he was writing to the Romans because they weren't Jews in the flesh. Jews in the flesh had to meet the condition of being a recipient of circumcision in the flesh. That was a sign that was given to Abraham that all of his that he and his children and all of his male descendants should be circumcised to show in the flesh that they were a separate people. They were different from the rest of the people. And Paul was saying that just being circumcised in the flesh is not sufficient to take care of the soul. He said you have to be circumcised in your heart. That the heart has to be cut out. The old heart. The stony heart. And a new heart placed in there. That there has to be an operation to take place. And that's why that people say pretty regularly. I've heard people just this past week talk about that. That there was that little time or that little space of time when they were lost and they sought the Lord. That they don't remember. That it just went dark on them. It went black on them. It went out of their conscious mind and understanding. That they don't remember. They were lost and then all of a sudden they woke up and they're saved. And that's because an operation took place. When we have operations, we have usually an anesthetic given to us nowadays anyway that puts us asleep. And then when we wake up, they've done the work and they've fixed us up, supposedly. Well, God does the same thing. He puts us to sleep. We're in that sleep, and he does the operation, and it's just that quick. It just happens. And then all of a sudden we awake, and the burden of sin is gone, and salvation is there. We have a new life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And so he said, a true Jew is one that's one inwardly and not outwardly. Paul also tells us later in the Roman letter, that he has a struggle between his inward man and his outward man. The outward man, this fleshly man he's talking about, is still in sin. We're still in this body of flesh. And we still have a sinful nature. And so therefore, our nature wants us to do things we shouldn't want to do. Or that we shouldn't do based on God's law. But he said, my inward man, that part that's in me that's saved, that is pure, that is righteous, it wants me to do the right thing. And so there's always a struggle between the outward and the inward man. So there's two parts of us. If the inward man is still lost or separated from God and is without any hope, then there is no internal working to make us do good other than our mental consciousness that we've developed. So there is a difference between the inward man and the outward man. The inward man, to a lost person, is dead in sin and therefore separated from God. And that's who Jesus was talking about. He said, some of those dead people, they're going to hear my voice. And they're going to answer. And they're going to get life and have life eternal. That's what John 3:16 says. I'm not going to quote it, but most of you could not. Just run it through your mind real quick. That he's going to give everlasting life to those that believe. To those that hear and believe. Hearing comes by the word. The word has to be preached or taught or given to somebody that's lost so that they might know that they're separated from God, that they might know that they're lost, that they might know that they're a sinful creature, and that they might know that there is a way by which they can become saved, have life eternal, and have a promise of something far better beyond this life. He said, the dead will hear my voice. They that hear shall live. Don't turn a deaf ear to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to make this a real long sermon, I don't think. He goes on and says down the 34th verse, the last part of that verse, he says, these things say I unto you that ye might be saved. He said, that's the reason I'm telling you this. Jesus said in another place, I came to seek and save that which was lost. That which was dead in sin. He said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm after them. He gave the example of the shepherd that had 100 sheep and one of them was lost. 99 of them was okay. There's all there. Except for one. And he left the 99 and went out looking for the one. And that's what Jesus was looking for, is the lost sheep. Those who are separated from God. And a person that is lost today, Jesus is looking for you. Now, he knows in the grand scheme of things, he knows where you are, he knows who you are, knows exactly what your circumstance is. It's just like when God came walking in the garden with Adam. He said, Adam, where art thou? He knew exactly where Adam was. He wanted Adam to recognize where he was. That he was separated from God because of his sin. And that's what Jesus is looking for, is to find you and let you know that you're separated from your sin and that you need salvation. He goes on talking to these folks and it says down in the 39th verse, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Now, there are people today, I call them our modern day Pharisees, that use that very scripture. They say, well, you can just search the scripture and you can find the answers to whatever you want. And they think they have eternal life by reading and following what the surface scriptures say without having any spiritual knowledge. Because that's exactly what Jesus was saying to these Pharisees. He said, search the scripture, for you think you have eternal life in them. You think because that you're trying to live by the law that you're going to be okay. But then he goes on and says, and they that which are they that, or let me read it right, and they are they which testify of me. He says, these same scriptures you're reading and you're coming to the wrong conclusion about, he said, they're the very things that testify of me. They're the very things that tell about me. And that's what a lot of people today, they read the scriptures and they can quote you all kinds of scripture, but they don't understand what the scripture's saying. Because they're not hearing with their heart. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. He was saying to them, and that's what's exactly going on with a lot of people today, that they read the Scripture, they see what the Scripture says, but they won't listen to it. They won't listen to the voice of Jesus. They won't listen to the voice of the Spirit in their heart. They want to figure it out in their head, and they want to have some excuse to be able to say that I have it down pat. I've got it. It's all about me and what I can do. And that's what the Pharisees thought. If I can follow these laws, if I can follow, and they had 613 of them that they had extracted from the Old Testament, that they said that if I can just follow these things, I'll have a sure path to heaven. But not a one of them could do it. And not one can do it today. Jesus said, you read them, you see them, you think you got it all figured out, but you don't. Come to me. And he goes on down and concludes in the last two verses. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. He said, you've read these Scriptures and you think you got it figured out. You don't even believe what Moses wrote. For he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my word? He left them with that question. If you don't believe what Moses said, the man that you said wrote these Scriptures that you believe in, that you studied out, that you say that they guide you to eternal life, but yet you don't even believe what he said about me, then how in the world are you going to believe me if you don't believe what he wrote about me? How in the world are you going to get saved? There was another situation about a fellow that was presented that. 16th chapter of Luke. He was already in hell. And after he had tried to bargain about his condition, and he saw it was fruitless, he had no hope of getting any relief in hell. He said, well, now why don't you send Lazarus back to tell my brothers that I got five of them. They still live. Go tell them not to come here.
Amen.
You know what he was told? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. If they won't believe them, they won't believe one that come back from the dead. And he said to them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. You know why? Because it's not what they can understand with their mind. The Apostle Paul wrote the church at Corinth, and he said, by the foolishness of preaching, God has chosen to confuse or confound, not confuse, but to confound the wise. Because see, the wise in their own minds think they can figure it out. The wise in their own mind think they've got this salvation thing worked out, and they come up with their own plans. That's why there's all kinds of plans out there. Because in people's own wisdom, they think they've got it figured out. But he said, by the foolishness of preaching, people that he has called to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that has the words of eternal life, that if preached in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit will take it to their hearts, and they will hear, and they'll believe, and they'll get saved. But those that think they got it figured out, it doesn't matter who comes and preaches to them. It doesn't matter if it's somebody from the dead. So that's what Jesus said to these Pharisees in our reading. He said, one will come in their own name, you'll believe them. But one will come and testify of me, and you won't believe them. That's why he was saying Moses testified of him. John the Baptist testified of him. The scriptures testified of him. It was your belief. Somebody come in their own name, you'll believe them. You'll believe their rhetoric. You'll believe their story. You'll believe their ideas. You'll believe what they've got to say. But when somebody comes preaching the truth about Jesus, there's so many that will not listen. They'll turn a deaf ear. And they'll die in their sin if they continue to do so. But just as sure as Jesus spoke the words then, his words are still being spoken. And when those that are dead in their sins hear the word and take it to heart, and then act on that by trusting in Jesus, they'll get saved. There's a lot of people, unfortunately, that have heard, that have recognized that they're lost, but just will not believe Jesus. Will die in their sin. Jesus provided the means of salvation. The message gets preached. What will you do with it? I know many of you are already saved. Most of us here are, based on your testimony. Because you heard, you listened, and you acted by trusting the Lord. If you haven't, you're missing out on the biggest and the best, the brightest, most wonderful thing that could happen to anybody. God help us to carry the message so that people might hear the words of Jesus. And that it might be accompanied by the Holy Spirit so that it would have effect. Because the words by themselves will not do anything other than make people mentally aware. But for it to have an effect, it has to go by the Spirit of the heart. And the Spirit carries you to the heart. Then listen. That's Jesus giving you an opportunity that so many people don't even have, that never get to hear the name of Jesus. There are people in this country that don't know about Jesus, much less in many countries that don't even allow Jesus to be preached, that they keep it from being presented to their people. Term that's used in prison for somebody that's on their way to be executed, they call them dead man walking. That's exactly what a lost person is, a dead man, woman, boy, girl, walking. You're walking around in physical nature. Wages of sin is death, and then die sometime in the physical nature. But if you're not alive in Christ in the heart, you're walking around already dead. Just having to face another death. Here, the psalmist says that, hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Somebody here that's lost, we would encourage you to hear Jesus, to listen to the Spirit, leave it with your heart, and draw you toward Him. Come to Him while you can and have this opportunity. My heart hurts for you. As much as I have joy in my heart when we sing songs, like the King is coming. And I can shout about the joy of that expectation. I also hurt to know that there's a lot that's not going to be going with us. If you're among those that are not going, get things right while you can. Let's stand and sing. Good place to come pray right up here.
Turn to page 191 and sing the first and last chorus.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam?
Anyone have anything on your heart?
Can we say number 23? How long is
that?
I don't know that. That's the other one. I think he does.
Let me care for you.
Thank you.